way, whether it's your first time or just another time, Jesus is ready to minister to every need. One more time in your own way, would you just let Jesus know, Jesus, thank you for letting me be here today. Thank you for letting me be in your house. Thank you for letting me feel your presence. Thank you for the privilege I have, Lord, to know you and to experience you. What a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. And again, I know it was mentioned. In fact, thank you to all of our service leaders and the worship team for leading us so far. But our guests, we want you to know you matter to us. So thank you for coming. Please connect with us via the connect card that's in your welcome bulletin. In fact, if it's your first time to fill that out, we'll get a gift to you this week, hopefully this week or within the next few days, to say thanks for coming. Just a small card, a little bit of appreciation. And to this church family, thank you so much for serving in so many ways and reaching this community and beyond. Those of you connected with Grace and King meeting tonight, then again in Taylorsville on Tuesday night, God is using us to impact this community, this region, and this world, because he's coming soon, amen. And we want to do everything we can. Some of our young people headed off to camp this past week. And what a time they had. I want to say thank you to everyone that was a part of the staff. Numerous leaders here today connected with that effort. Thank you for ministering to all of those young people. Historically at camp, they like to honor the camper of the year and several runner-ups. Usually it's somebody from Heaven View, but not every time. But thankfully, the team that's not entirely true, but we have managed to place near the top on several occasions. This particular week was no exception. Runner-up for the ladies' camper of the year. Let's give it up for Sister Abby Linder on the front row. Way to go, Abby! I informed her I was never camper of the year. Not because I didn't try, just I didn't have the goods. But thank you, all of our campers who got the goods. And you're a great blessing and representation, not just of this church, but also of Jesus Christ. In regards to that, we understand in our congregation there's a lot of students and several educators. Next Sunday in the 11 a.m. service, we will have communion. And also special prayer, communion for everyone, but special prayer for our students, teachers, other administrators in the school system. We want our young people and those that work with them to head back to school full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit still makes a difference in the lives of people. Amen. So please join us. Also want to remind you, I know this is information you already know, but you don't want to miss the world's best picnic right here happening through Heaven View on September 11th. Information in the foyer, as well as the men's conference coming up in Greensboro. I know a lot of things could be said, but just take my word for it. You want to be a part of everything that God's doing around here. Why don't you stand in honor of the word of the Lord? I want to direct your attention to the New Testament, the book of James. We have a lot of guests here today, some that I do not know about. I apologize for not mentioning your name. Others, you're from the community. It's your first time, and we need to connect. I'd love to get to know you. But then we got some folks that are just kind of traveled in as part of our extended family and friends of this church. Let's see, Brother Gideon, it's so good to see you. You're always welcome here at Heaven View. And then, my goodness, Michaela is home. We love Michaela and Zach, Valena. This is a precious couple doing the work of the Lord in Texas. Man, I thought everybody in Texas already knew the Lord, but they also have a heart for missions. And Michaela was one of our young people that was a profound impact here. We're glad she's here and brought her family. And then Nicole, we miss you, Nicole. We love Nicole, don't we? visiting all the way from far away in Charlotte. And let's see, who else? It's good to have Jason back from Jacksonville with Summer. We're glad you're here. Some others, I knew I was going to miss somebody. But anyway, to all of our who? Oh, my goodness, the Rezignacs are here. Are y'all from New York? That's why I didn't mention. We get scared about people like that coming. This is a precious family, been connected, part of our family since I think I changed their diapers. I don't remember all the details, but it's been a long time. And is Lily here? She changed my diapers. You don't have to get up. You don't even have to wake up, but we're glad you're here, Sister Lily. We love you. I knew I was going to mess up. I'm sorry. James chapter 2. I better get in the word or I'll really get us in trouble. James chapter 2 and verse number 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So he wasn't just a believer, you know, the kind that just says, I believe, throws on the Christian t-shirt, and then just lives their own life. His belief led him into a covenant with the Lord. He obeyed God. He walked with God to the degree that he became a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. I want to be a friend of God. And so I want to talk to you from this thought, and I know I'm kind of changing this old cliche up a little bit, but just follow me. The opportunity, not of a lifetime, but the opportunity of a lifestyle. The opportunity of a lifestyle. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, we want your Holy Spirit to flow. We want the power of your Spirit to anoint, God. I want to be a vessel you can use. I want your power and your presence, Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. And again, thank you for being here. I must confess, probably not to the degree of some, maybe even someone here, but certainly probably more than most. I'm always intrigued by the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, if I can save 15% in 15 minutes, I want the opportunity of a lifetime. If I can go through that drive-through and scratch off that Monopoly game and be rich forever, you know, I'll just go through that drive-through over and over and over again. Look, you see? Because of the opportunity of a lifetime. And I think as we have talked as a church here in the last few weeks about the fact that God has made us some incredible promises, that as a church, we are at a crossroads, and one of the scriptures we looked at last week in the book of Luke, it will help you understand where I'm going with this. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And this is what sounds like the opportunity of a lifetime. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. It's almost as if you just do this, that, and the other, and boom, it's awesome what God does. Now, I believe that in one service, God can change your life forever. Now, I certainly believe about prayer that we have a responsibility to knock with shameless persistence, to believe that if there is a promise in the Word of God, I'm not going to quit believing and trusting the Lord to come through for me. Certainly, we acknowledge even last Sunday, prayer is our responsibility, but more than that, prayer is more than a responsibility. It's a possibility. all things are possible to him that believes. Amen. And so in 1 Chronicles, we read, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face continually. And Isaiah the prophet said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We are called to be a people of prayer with the understanding and the awareness that when we seek God, he will bless us. Persistent, passionate prayer. It is our open door in these last days. I saw people come forward just a little while ago, and we'll do it one more time before we dismiss. And I just could imagine miracles over here and miracles over here and miracles over here and miracles over here. Why? Because God's word is true. You're not coming up here depending on me or depending on an elder or some other religious leader. Our hope is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. And he purchased our miracle with his shed blood. And so, my goodness, we have a responsibility to latch on to that by praying, 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 and believing God for what he has promised. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you remember, oh God, if this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he had his closest followers with him. He had asked them, could you just maybe wait up with me and watch and pray? You remember what happened. Matthew 26, picking up at verse 40. He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's not always easy to pray, but pray anyway. Because not only is it our responsibility, it's our opportunity to see God fulfill his will in our life. I grew up in one of those old time churches where they tried to encourage you to pray every day. In fact, my pastor would get up. He went through a season where right before he'd preach, he'd say, I want everybody that's prayed an hour every day this week to stand. When he first started, man, there wasn't too many people standing. But after a while, as other people would stand, you thought, man, I ought to try this prayer thing out. At the very least, I won't feel so awkward when everybody else is standing. Now, I would never want to try to imply that he was guilting us into prayer. That wasn't the point. But he was reminding us that in these last days, we must stay connected with Jesus Christ. And the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so I say to this church family today, prayer is the opportunity of a lifestyle, not just a quickie when you have a situation that might be deemed an emergency. So you're quick to fall on your face and say, oh God, I need you. He will respond to that prayer. But you know what else he can respond to? A lifestyle that says, Jesus, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not just because it's a responsibility, not because it's a drudgery, but because it's an opportunity to be blessed, to be blessed. It's in that contact, in that context that we ought to be doing a lot of asking right now. We ought to be doing a lot of seeking right now. We ought to be doing a lot of knocking right now. Why? Because Jesus wants to bless his people. And Jesus wants to shine as a light for this very dark generation. And God will reward us if we will give ourselves to a lifestyle of prayer. He will be the Lord of our lives. And we will see his power at work in us. Not if we pray, but when we pray, God will bless. And great things will happen. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6, some of you probably could quote a good portion of this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But here's the part we don't always think about, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By the time you left here last Sunday, you probably thought, man, I better pray. But I hope you don't just leave it at the level of responsibility as though, oh my goodness, here's another thing I gotta do on my list of things to do that is already overwhelming me. I know you need to feel a little bit of the urgency and the responsibility, but don't pray because you have to pray. Pray because he is a rewarder. Don't pray because you feel guilty about not praying, but pray because he is a rewarder. Don't pray out of responsibility. Pray because of opportunity. Jesus is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Could you raise a hand or lift your voice and say, thank you, Jesus, that in the year 2016, when everything around me can't be trusted, when everything around me seems like sinking sand, that God still answers prayer. God still rewards prayer. Praise God. I'll read it again. I've read it several times, and I wasn't the first minister to get behind the pulpit and read it here in recent days, but I want to say again to this church family, because we are clearly at a crossroads and doors are opening for this church. As individuals and as a church family, I beg you from Colossians 4, continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. When you're praying for stuff, don't forget to be thankful for what he's already done. But keep praying because God is opening a door. While you're praying, pray for each other. Pray for yourself. Pray for your pastor. Pray for everyone that's a part of our church family. What? That God would open doors for us. That we could speak the word of God, that we could reach lost people, that we could see the gospel advance. And I guarantee you, as we are about our Father's business, he will look after our business. If I will take care of what matters to God through prayer, God will take care of what matters through me through answering prayer and meeting my needs. But please, church, let's pray. Because the opportunities are endless. And Jesus is opening doors so that all of us together can participate in his purpose in these last days. You say, well, I don't even know if I would consider myself a Christian. It's not too late to get on board. Jesus is so powerful and so real and so alive that he can take your life and do more with you than you can do with yourself. It's not about your last name. It's not about your religious pedigree. But if you will pray, in fact, the prophet said it this way, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That's not just for the seasoned saints. That's for every believer. It's an opportunity if I pray. So we're honest, and I know it's hard to say humble because once you say you're humble, then you're probably not humble. But I do feel humble enough to say, Jesus, my family needs you. My church needs you. My generation needs you. The people at work need you. The people at school need you. And so I'm not just praying because it's a responsibility. I'm praying because it's an opportunity. But not the opportunity of a lifetime, as though it's a last resort, or perhaps a rabbit's foot, or maybe prayer is like abracadabra. No. Not prayer as the opportunity of a lifetime, but prayer as the opportunity of a lifestyle. I'm going to make Jesus the center of my life. I've got family. I've got work. I've got responsibilities. I've even got some hobbies. I've got all kinds of stuff. But I want to have a lifestyle of seeking the face of God. In some way, somehow, remember, the Lord decided to meet Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I don't know when the cool of the day is for you. For me, it's in the morning, first thing. But I'll give you a little secret. If you're not a morning person, the Hebrews thought the day started with the evening. So the cool of the day for them was in the evening. Whatever the case may be with you, whether you're starting your day in the morning or you're starting tomorrow in the evening, make sure you start it with prayer, and a lifestyle is created in your home and in your family that says, come on everybody, if we will seek God, if we will talk to God, if we will include God, it's the opportunity of a lifestyle. Because prayer is our ultimate open door to a word. And I was going to insert the word relationship here. Certainly prayer is that. But I want you to focus on a different word today. Prayer is an open door to a partnership with Jesus Christ. I'm talking about two parties get together and they form a partnership to accomplish a goal. Perhaps if it's a business partnership, they're gonna serve the community with a product or with some sort of skill. And you know, the end of that is they're both gonna benefit. Both parties are gonna benefit from the partnership. Other people will be impacted, but those partners most of all will celebrate the success of that partnership. Prayer is an open door for every person here where Jesus is saying, I'd like to be your partner in the Father's business. I'd like to be your partner in what God is doing in these last days. And if you will partner with me, you will be blessed above and beyond what you ask or think. It's an open door. It's an open door. In fact, when Jesus was walking on this earth in Luke chapter 10, we read that he's sending out the people two by two. They're going out in groups of two to places where he himself would come. In other words, they are representing him in the earth to tell the words of truth and share the gospel. But look in verse 2, he says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus died to save everybody on the planet. But then he looks at his people and he says, I need you to partner with me. I mean, he's the one that went to the cross. He's God. You think if he wants to save anybody, he could do it all by himself? Sure he could. But he's chosen to partner with you, to reach a neighbor, to reach a friend, to reach your family, to reach our generation. He wants a partnership. You know, we know this because he speaks of laborers. But then in 1 Corinthians 3, he says in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. So we are praying, God, send forth laborers, and God, send me forth as a laborer, but I'm not going by myself or even with a few brothers and sisters from the church. We are partners with him. And I say to you, it is the opportunity of a lifestyle, not some one-shot wonder that on some particular day, lightning flashes across the sky and you see an angel and the ground trembles and you finally take out that card and say, would you come to church with me? No, not the opportunity of a lifetime, but the opportunity of a lifestyle. When I wake up in the morning I'm thinking about all my responsibilities, but I carve out some time to pray and I say, Lord, I'm a laborer together with you. We are in a partnership, and through prayer, I want to make myself sensitive. I want to make this flesh be under subjection so that somewhere throughout my life today, I can be a light that shines. I can bring hope to someone. I'm talking to everybody in this building today, and I'm telling you, prayer is the opportunity of a lifestyle for you to realize it's not just about going to work. It's not just about paying bills. It's not even just about showing up once or twice a week in church. It's about saying, Jesus, use me. Make my life powerful for you. Fulfill your will in my generation. It's the opportunity of a lifestyle. And it's an open door for every person. Praise God. Think about the God of the universe that can do anything at any time, but he limits himself to working through you and I. I think it was Brother Myers that mentioned Mark chapter 6 today. How can we read in the Bible that it says he really couldn't do a whole lot of stuff, but just few sick people got healed? That's the God of the universe. And all he could do was heal a few sick people. It's because of partnership. It's an open door. There's faith involved. And somebody saying, Jesus, here I am. Work through me. Heal me, or dare I say, heal through me. It's the opportunity of a lifestyle. And some precious believers that are here today that have followed the Lord perhaps for a long time, I want you to know we are entering in the season as a church of a living God around the world that God is saying to every single one of his children, you are the hands and feet. You are the body of Christ. We all have a purpose. We are all members in particular. You need to link up with your local church and you need to get involved in reaching the lost because Jesus is coming soon. And God has chosen to partner with his people. Look at Ezekiel 22. I won't be much longer, but I think you will truly understand what God is saying to us if you can just look at a couple more examples. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Speaking of the Lord, it says, this is God saying, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, I poured out mine indignation upon them, and I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let me just go a little old-time religion on you. God is not willing that any should perish. But the soul that sinneth, it shall die. God does not want anyone to be lost. God does not want anyone to go to hell. But the reality is this, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. There's only one way to salvation. There's only one way to an eternity with God. And every other way leads to damnation. And God says, I was looking for somebody that would stand in the gap, somebody that would partner with me, somebody that would reach out to someone that was going the wrong way and pray and believe and serve and love that they might be rescued. That's why I'm here today. Somebody stood in the gap for me. Somebody stood in the gap for you. And the Lord says in his word, I gotta have somebody like that, that will walk through the open door as the opportunity of a lifestyle to say, Jesus, my life is not my own. What can I do to stand in the gap for someone today? Can you say in Jesus' name? And that's why I talked about Abraham and directed you towards that scripture about him. Because I want you to consider with me that Abraham was the friend of God because he enjoyed a covenant with God and communion with God. Without reading every verse, without giving you every example, I just want you to know that when God called Abraham and said, "You go where I tell you to go," the Bible says Abraham just went, not even knowing where he was going. He left his family. He left everything just to enter into a covenant with God. Think about that and compare it to your salvation. Everybody that's in here that's been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, there had to come a point in your life where you embrace the word of God and you said, "I believe that Jesus is my Savior. And I don't care what anybody else says, I will follow him." And following Jesus demands that kind of faith, that we trust him with our lives and with our souls, and we forget about the opinions of people. That leads us to repentance and baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And yes, the initial evidence is that we speak with other tongues, but that's not the end. That's the beginning. Yeah, then the fruit of the Spirit is developing in our lives. The gifts of the Spirit are operating in our lives. And the Word of God is being performed in us as we walk with him. It's all part of our covenant. But listen, Abraham had more than a covenant. He had communion, communication. It wasn't enough that Abraham could point to this particular day and this particular situation, this particular occasion, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where he entered into a covenant with God. That wasn't enough. Because if you look at his life, there were times that he had to be in enough communication and enough communion for the Lord to say, "Now I want you to do this. And now I want you to do that. And now I want you to go here. And now I want you to go there." I'll give you a perfect example. "Abraham, offer up your son." He didn't get that out of covenant. He got that out of communion. He was talking to God. And God was talking to him. And God said, "Offer up your son." And sure enough, he builds the altar. The story's amazing. And he gets ready to offer up his son. But thank God for consistent, constant communion. Thank God that his relationship with the Lord wasn't a once-in-a-lifetime relationship. It was the opportunity of a lifestyle. That yes, God had said, "Offer up your son." But then the next time he talked to the Lord said, "Okay, don't slay your son. I would never want you to kill your own kid. I was just testing your faith and your resolve to obey me." I'm trying to tell somebody, we are like Abraham from the standpoint that all of us begin this journey by faith. But we must make a covenant with God to obey his word. If I will, he will. If I do what his word says, he will bless me. He will lead me. But beyond covenant, there must be communion. There must be communication. Dare I say, I've got to take advantage of the opportunity to pray. I've got to take advantage of the opportunity of a lifestyle where you lead me, I will follow. How many of you folks could raise a hand or raise a voice and say, "Jesus, I want to obey you. But more than just covenant, God, I want to have communion. I want to have communication. I want to have a lifestyle of talking to you and listening to you because it's an opportunity." Now, if I can use one phrase to describe this opportunity, and I don't want you to think it's limited to just the people on the platform. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but everybody from Brother Markowitz to me, This is the opportunity of a lifestyle that if we enter into covenant and communion, we can each be a friend of God. I want that. I want that. And there's a lot of benefits that come with that package. But in Genesis 18, I want you to read, out of this covenant, out of this communion, verse number 17, the Lord is about to destroy cities that are filled with wickedness and immorality. The Bible says that the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Look down to verse 19. For I know him. And we'll read on in just a moment. Just leave that verse there. Everybody in here has the opportunity to have the kind of friendship with the Lord. Brother Myers is going to be the Lord for the moment. And so Brother Myers has a plan to destroy the world because of its wickedness. But he says, how can I keep my plans quiet, secret from my friend? And so if I'm in communion with him, if I'm in covenant with him, I'm in communication with him, God will say to his friend, these are the last days. Judgment is coming. Your family that's lost, your coworkers that are lost, your friends that are lost, I'm going to open a door for you to reach them. And Abraham gets this news, and because he's a friend of God, he's not embarrassed to say, wait a minute, God, before you come and destroy the world, what if I find just a few righteous people? That's an open door. That's the opportunity of a lifestyle. God, we know you're coming soon, but can I reach a coworker? Can I reach a friend? Can I reach a family member? And some of you know enough Bible to know that Abraham wasn't that successful finding righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, but I got good news. He saved his family. He rescued his kids. That's a promise for everybody in this building. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to raise your hands and raise your voice. And in your own way, say, Jesus, I embrace the opportunity of a lifestyle that if I will stay in communion with you, if I will stay in covenant with you, if I will stay connected with you, you will give me the best chance to intercede for my kids and intercede for my loved ones and make a difference for my family. Before you come, God, there's still time. It's the opportunity of a lifestyle, Lord, that sooner or later the trumpet will sound. But between now and then, I've got an opportunity to pray. I've got an opportunity to fast. I've got an opportunity to intercede. It's the opportunity of a lifestyle. And I'm not going to give up on those that I can influence. As the musicians come, can you say in Jesus' name? And so, I close. I know in a building this size, a congregation this crowded, there's a lot of needs, a lot of needs. I know of some that came to this altar already once today with a desperation. There are some that, as far as you're concerned, it's got to happen in this service. I'm not afraid of that because I believe in the opportunity of a lifetime. I believe in one service that can make all the difference. There are people in this sanctuary that one service changed everything. But I also believe what you really need between now and that trumpet blast that calls the church home is the opportunity of a lifestyle. And the old timers called it this: what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. to carry everything, everything to God in prayer. I'm saying today, come to the altar for that opportunity of a lifetime, but also come to the altar because a door is open to each of us for the opportunity of a lifestyle. God, I'm not saying I do it every day or that I will do it every day from this point on, but the best I can, I will find a way to start my day with prayer. I will get you in the center of my life, of my family. It may be in the evening as I think about the next day and I get ready and plan, I'm going to seek you. Or for many, it may be in the morning before all of the noise and the chaos and the confusion. Jesus, I want to stay in communion with you. I know I've got the covenant part down. I know I believed in you for my salvation. I've repented. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to obey the word and let the Spirit of God live through me. But I want to stay connected. I want to stay in communion. I want to walk through the doorway of prayer. It's the opportunity of a lifestyle. And our greatest example, and I read from another theologian as we close, and emphasizing the fact that Jesus was the best example of a lifestyle of prayer. He says, how much prayer meant to Jesus. It was not only his regular habit, it was his resort in every emergency, whether it was slight or serious. When he was perplexed, he prayed. When he was hard pressed by work, he prayed. When he was hungry for fellowship, he prayed. When he chose his associates and received his messages, it was through prayer. If tempted, he prayed. If criticized, he prayed. If fatigued and tired, he prayed. His one unfailing habit was the opportunity of a lifestyle. This flesh needs to be in communion with the Spirit of God. Prayer bought him unmeasured power at the beginning and kept the flow unbroken and undiminished. There was no emergency, no difficulty, no necessity, no temptation that would not yield to prayer. So he practiced it and practiced it and practiced it. He prayed so much and so often that for him, it was like breathing. It was almost involuntary. It just flowed out of him. In fact, we might say it this way. He prayed without ceasing. And that's the opportunity of a lifestyle. That's the open door that will change everything about everyone in this building today, starting with me. The effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people still stops the rain and starts the rain, makes God's will accomplished in these last days. Would you stand? And with every eye closed, every head bowed, whatever you need today, prayer is an open door. Whatever you need in your family, prayer is an open door. Whatever you need on the job, prayer is an open door. Whatever you need in your finances, prayer is an open door. Whatever situation is happening with your soul, from the one that has served God the longest to perhaps the one that feels the farthest away, prayer is an open door. And in just a moment, we open these altars for anyone that needs the opportunity of a lifetime That one shot with Jesus that changes everything, that delivers you from addiction, that delivers you from depression, that delivers you from anxiety, that delivers you from sickness. It's here today. But linking faith with those people needs to be an army of brothers and sisters that say, I'm coming not just for the opportunity of a lifetime, but the opportunity of a lifestyle. I want to have a prayer life. I want to walk through the open door of prayer so that I can be in the will of God and fulfill the purpose of God for my life in these last days. Who will come? Who will join us? Who can stand with me at this altar and say, there's an opportunity here today? There's an opportunity here today. Come on, even if you're a guest, this is not about joining this church. This is not about signing on the dotted line for membership. This is about saying, I want the opportunity of a lifestyle. I want to walk through an open door today. There's no accident for why you're here today. There's no accident for why you chose this Sunday to be at Heaven View. This message was your message. There's an opportunity for someone here today. There's an opportunity. Unity for someone here today. Oh, I need pain. Come on, I see people entering into partnership. I see people renewing partnership right now. I'm not making these decisions by myself. I'm not living this life on my own. I'm not making these choices just in my own intellect. I'm going to seek the face of God. Come on. I rebuke the lie of the enemy that says you're insignificant, that your life is not important, that your choices don't matter. Come on. There is a partner, Jesus Christ, the God of the universe. He wants to link up with you right now. If you will make the commitment to seek his face. The opportunity. It's the opportunity. You're making decisions. You're making choices. But forget about doing it by yourself. Enter into partnership right now. Renew that partnership right now. Come on, you got all your plans, but don't forget your partner. Don't forget your partnership with Jesus Christ. Ya la 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 ba ka ya la 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 ba